Coming up on Patriots This Week. In the spirit of the season, the Patriots were in a holiday mood, bestowing gifts.
Ball on the ground again. Picked up by San Francisco again.
Obviously, we just didn't do anything well enough tonight to win.
The Patriots were naughty, making the final score not so nice.
We got to perform better than that. You can't play poorly against a good team and expect to win.
Despite a first half to forget, Tom Brady almost made it a night to remember.
We just made too many mistakes, you know, when we needed to make the plays.
Now they return to where they won their last Super Bowl, hoping to get back to another.
We're just trying to go out and win. I think that's the most important thing for us to do, is to win a game.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
With apologies to Charles Dickens, it wasn't the worst of times, and it wasn't the best of times. The Patriots' 41-34 loss to the San Francisco 49ers was actually a football potpourri, and it primed fans for what potentially could take place this postseason. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week, as usual, former linebacker Matt Chatham, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. Guys, I don't really know where to start with this one. When this thing was 31-3, it seemed like Patriots couldn't block anything, that they weren't ready for the San Francisco pass rush, that they actually got hit in the mouth early in this football game. Wiggy, did the short week hurt them?
I don't necessarily think the short week hurt them. I just think when you look at this game, San Francisco, they were ready to go, and the Patriots, it kind of took them some time. And it's one of those football games where, you know, coach will really hop on it. Hey, we got to be ready to go from the beginning of the game, that first whistle, first play, through the last, you know, last minute of the game, 60-minute game. So I just think that they weren't really ready for what San Francisco had to offer. I guess, you know, when you get some guys that you haven't seen before, you know, it's kind of a different feeling for you.
Well, errors. I mean, I don't know if it was an early thing, because there were actually mistakes throughout the game. I mean, of course, they put points on later, but then the game ended on a series of errors again as well. So it's tough. I think it's good for the team. I'm not in this whole, like, you know, moral victory thing, but the idea that you have talked in the last couple of weeks where there's been some times where the ball was on the ground, it didn't hurt. Well, now you have sort of that coaching situation to go back and say, sort of, I told you so.
All right, Matt, you've written about it for the last 2 weeks, I think, in your column about turnovers. You commit four against a very good team, not even a good team, an elite team like San Francisco is. I think they're one of the cream of the crop of the NFC. They were fortunate, I thought, to be where they were at halftime, down the way they were, and it wasn't much worse. But what do you blame the turnovers on? Just lack of concentration, or could you go to the weather part of it?
Well, the weather's a factor, because you saw San Francisco with the ball on the ground like six times. Yeah. It was some crazy number. And then, you know, it was bad. They couldn't even get the ball from center. But you don't use that excuse on offense. I think if you're Ridley and you've put the ball on the ground, you got away with it. You know, it was reviewed, like hang on to the ball. But I think you have to sort of have that mental change to happen with you. Okay, dodged a bullet there, going to be very secure with it from here on out. And then you go, and it's not high and tight. You're breaking the line, and you're still holding it with one. You got to wonder what the frame of mind is, and that he'll probably be challenged on that later this week. Then you're the other back, who's his competition, who gets your first big shot, and you put it on the ground. So, you know, I think they're in a situation where it should be a very competitive environment in that running back's room, because you're holding plutonium. You're holding the most valuable thing in this organization.
So that's plutonium's expensive.
I believe so. Yeah.
We learned a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point. It's all about ball security. You look at it, the weather doesn't play a major factor into it, because officials do a good job of keeping the balls dry. Total ball security.
Brady was, I don't want to say unusually darn good in this game, but down 31-3, he brought him back big time. Was it something that San Francisco did that you saw? Did they call the dogs off? Or was it just, boy, Brady really got in a rhythm?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily called the dogs off. I hate that, because I don't really think a coach.
There's no prevent.
I don't think a coach would say, you know what, hey, we're up and now we're just gonna, you know, put in our second unit and play zone. I think when you look at it, something that they did and they did well is they went back to that no huddle, letting Brady just kind of go out there, and every play was pretty much no huddle and letting him decide on where he wants to go with the football. We didn't see that early in the game. We saw a little bit of it, but, you know, this was the type of no huddle that we were used to seeing, say, in years past, where it's just like every time the Patriots get the ball, hey, we're going no huddle. We're not getting in the huddle. We're spreading you out. We're going five wides, empty backfield. And I think that's what you saw. And he started hitting some of these choice routes, some of these short option routes. You know, things started opening, and that's when he started getting his rhythm.
See, I thought it was more, rather than just the huddle, don't huddle tempo thing, I thought it was more the personnel group. They actually ran a lot of 12 and their version of basically 21 in that first half against San Francisco's regular defense and didn't get a lot done.
Yeah.
If you look at the second and third series of the game, there were a lot of protection issues. The times that they would go to spread, even though they were in 12, I think the San Francisco regular defense versus the Patriots regular offense, San Francisco won that matchup more or less in the first half. I think what the success they had was spreading them out. Now, the huddle or not huddle part of it, it is a tempo question as well, but I thought it was really more they had a really hard time matching their 10 and 11 personnel, where it was just one tight end in the field or all receivers. When they spread them out, it was sort of like, oh, we found something, but there's only half a football left. They put 31 on them pretty quickly, but I think it's something that in the event they were to revisit each other, that might be the better formula against this team.
Let me ask the tight end this. Aaron Hernandez targeted 19 times. He had 12 catches. A lot of it, though, was the kind of in and out, the return routes, the underneath, the crossing. Does the offense open up more for him when Gronkowski is active?
Yes.
Will he be better when Gronk's back?
Yes, by far, because, you know, when you put Gronk on the football field, now Hernandez can kind of go back to doing the things that he's used to doing, which is lining up outside, and Gronk can kind of control that middle of the field with the seam routes and those type of things. Hernandez can get outside, line him up outside, let him line up in the backfield, because Gronk has the ability to line up in the traditional tight end position, which is close to the tackle. Now you put Hernandez there, that's really not where he wants to be. You know, a lot of contact going in there. You got to, you know, guys are trying to reroute you. So I think when you get Gronk back, now you've seen it before where they've put Gronk, you know, close to the line of scrimmage, say next to the tackle, and then you have Hernandez on the same side. So it looks like, wow, here's Hernandez out wide. He can run hitch routes. He can run under routes, slant routes, those type of things. Does a little bit better out there in the space versus being in that line of scrimmage or close to that where all the trash is.
Matt, special teams-wise, Rivera gets a hold, another hold they have where they back two, the punt returns up, nails them back down in their territory. They're trying to mount that comeback. They tied up at 31, 62-yard return. Do they have special teams issues right now?
Well, I think this happens often as special teams, and I think the error in this particular game is not figuring out how the game's being called, and I think that really goes on both sides because for whatever reason, the officiating crew really wanted to take over the special teams game. They called four holding penalties on punt returns, three against the Patriots, one against the Niners, and, you know, it's one thing to get one, and I think Rivera's was early in the game. Then there's a second one that was called, I believe, on Marquise Cole on the gunner. It was a pretty good aggressive play, but once you've realized the flag's been on the ground twice, right, wrong, or otherwise, you usually huddle up on the sideline with your guys and say, guys, it's one of those weeks. The kickoff play is a different animal. The issue is you have to win one-on-one, and you have to get guys over the ball because now it was a huge play in the game, and then we're into a one-play offensive drive on the very next play.
Yep.
It was critical. I think we're seeing now that special teams does count.
Going into this game, is Harbaugh ready? Is this a big game not only for him but for his team? Is Harbaugh one of the best coaches in the league now?
Harbaugh came out and said, hey, we're going to be playing in New England. We're going to throw everything at you we can, and we're going to try to win this football game. And they made the plays. They had four explosive plays that all led to that were all touchdowns. And you don't want to give up two explosive plays on the defensive side of the ball, but to give up four that were all touchdowns, you know, that's an issue right there.
Matt, they need 84 points to break their scoring record of 07. Will they do it in two games?
Well, we'll get to this in the prediction section, obviously, but I think this is an angry Patriots team with, you know, that's being challenged in that locker room and on that practice field this week.
All right, guys, good stuff. We're going to see if Adrian Peterson can break the single-season rushing mark. Plus, the New York Jets are falling apart. Boy, we'll shed a tear for them. That's next in Rants and Raves.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster Dumpster in a Bag can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Dante Hightower is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. The Patriots selected the impact linebacker from Alabama in the first round of the draft. The 6'4", 270-pounder earned a starting job in training camp. And against the 49ers, the 22-year-old had his best game with 8 tackles, 2 for losses. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week and what was probably one of the worst performances for a quarterback on Monday Night Football. Mark Sanchez for the New York Jets was picked off four times. And guys, still, as bad as he was, with under a minute left, they've got the ball on the plus 25. Low snap, and I think it was apropos. Perfect ending for a Jets season. I think the psyche of this quarterback was destroyed when they went and got that number 15 from Denver, and they had this huge press conference for a backup quarterback.
I say you blow the whole thing up. Tannenbaum's gone. Rex is gone. Get you a new quarterback. Because even if you keep Rex, they had an issue when Schottenheim was the offensive coordinator. So does Rex have the ability to bring in an offensive guy that he's just going to hand the keys to and say, we need you to kind of take this over and revamp Sanchez? I think you just start fresh from the top down. You blow everybody up out of there, and you bring somebody else in there that has a big enough, you know, figure, polarizing figure that people will say, wow, he can get us to that promise.
Matt, why didn't you pull Mark Sanchez if, you know, number 15 sitting there waiting? He's active. They had designated series for him and everything.
I thought it was smart and savvy to take Sanchez out, to pull him and give McElroy that series a couple weeks ago. Because, you know, now you draw on that line in the sand. If you stink, you're coming out. But McElroy was inactive this week. And that, to me, doesn't make a ton of sense because you don't have the ability. You certainly have the Tebow packages, mm-hmm. but you don't have a wire-to-wire quarterback. You, under the presumption that Tim was not taking backup quarterback reps for the entire offense, it's likely that wasn't the case. So they backed themselves in the wall with the inactive thing again. I would think that, you know, whatever that 45th or 46th guy was is a lot less important than the uncertainty they have at the quarterback position, especially to go in four interceptions deep before they could make that kind of decision. The line in the sand was something that was just kicked through, and they went on and just kept with it. So that didn't make a lot of sense.
McElroy's the starter this week, and I think that's part of it is the guy that actually is the backup wasn't active. So now all of a sudden he's going to be active. He'll start. I don't think they view Tebow as a quarterback, flat out, period. I just don't think they view him that way as a staff, as a team. Sanchez, I think, has about $16 million guaranteed left. Would you like to be him, Wiggy?
Yeah,
I know if you say blow it up.
Yeah, I mean,
it's guaranteed money.
Yeah, I mean, it is guaranteed
$20
money
in the offseason.
But I think what the Jets did by starting McElroy and saying McElroy's our starter, they've pretty much thrown their cards on the table and said, you know what, we're done with Sanchez. I mean, there's no other. When you look at it, if you're going to bench him for McElroy, you're saying to him, we are now done with you as our starting quarterback.
All right, let's talk about a good player. Adrian Peterson needs 294 yards to break Eric Dickerson's single-season mark of 2,105 yards. He's got two games to do it. Matt, will he do it?
I don't think so, and I think the reason being, you kind of look at the teams that are left on his schedule. He's got the Packers and he's got the Texans, who are both really playing for something. And this often happens when you get towards the end and the records start popping up, and maybe you're a team that has nothing else to play for. You might put all your eggs in that basket and say, "This, I'm not going to be on that highlight film the rest of my life." This team is two teams that actually handle that pretty well. The Packers, a little more weak through the air, but I don't see either of them just, you know, laying on a red carpet and letting the record happen on them. They're playing for something. So the reality of it, though, is Minnesota now is too. So it's not record chasing in their realm. They're trying to win football games.
If he gets it against these two defenses, should he win it? The MVP.
No, I don't think he should. I think he's done a tremendous job, but you look at what an elite quarterback can do for his football team.
I think it's a two-man race.
A Tom Brady, elite quarterback, versus an Adrian Peterson, who's an elite running back. Give me the elite quarterback all day long.
I think it's between Manning and Brady.
Are we not to the situation like in college where, let's be honest, MVP is a quarterback award. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But should we just have like a Nagurski or whatever? Like each position.
That's football player.
That's what I'm saying. But he's the best. He's the best
like
back.
Like the Walter Payton
exactly.
Award, right?
He's the best back. But let's be honest. Yeah. No kick. How many yards you got to run for a running back before you're going to get the MVP? It's just not going to happen.
You guys see, Matt has a good point there.
All right, guys, good stuff there on Rants and Raves. Coming up next, they're playing a team called the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's right. Blaine Gabbert's not the quarterback. Chad Henne is. He's got some people to throw the ball to. We'll get into it next. All right, if you had concerns last week about the perimeter passing game, if you thought San Francisco had some guys that could scoot, well, Chad Henne and company in Jacksonville, he's got a couple. Mercedes Lewis, also this guy, Cecil Shorts, Blackman's at the top. See, what they do is they draw all the attention up here. Go ahead and roll the tape. Backside, one-on-one. Never give up the middle of the field. Why? Sticking on him right there. Big play capability, making people miss. The ability to run with the football. It's yards after catch. Watch him here. He's going to be at the top of your screen. A little slip screen. All the attention, again, goes to Blackman. Splitting coverage. I'd be worried about it with the type of safety play we've seen, eliminating some big plays over the top. But remember, Kyle Arrington gave up the big play to Crabtree last week. Again, look at all the attention right here. I mean, this is way too easy. One, two, three, four guys there to make the play. Cecil Shorts, number 84, second-year guy from a small school. We worry about the big guys like Blackman. Find out where Cecil Shorts is. Welcome back to Patriots This Week. There's nothing like going into the Christmas holiday with a 2-12 football team. Believe me, I've been there before. It's not a lot of fun. Jacksonville Jaguars, guys, they lose 24-3 to the Miami Dolphins last week. I'm trying to find something nice to say about him. Maurice Jones-Drew's there. It's a nice name. He's missed 8 straight weeks with a foot. They're saying he might test it out. I don't think he's going to play. Why would he risk it at this stage? But they got Chad Henne. They have Mercedes Lewis. You got Blackman. They got a couple guys to get the ball to. Matt, what concerns you looking at this game for the Patriots, if any?
I got to be honest. Not a lot concerns me. But you know what? There are things they can go back to the tape and say, hey, you can't just show up. This is not high school. It's not a small college. Because they played the Texans so competitive 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was, that's really about it, to be honest.
These are tough get-through games. I'm sorry. I mean, well, they're terrible.
Mentally,
the team knows
tough.
They're bad. They got to get on a plane. They got to go.
I think the biggest thing that worries you in this position, or that could be something that when you look at you don't want to happen to you, is the turnovers, ball security. You don't want to go down there. You're throwing, you know, interceptions, fumbles, which leads to short fields.
Look on your special teams.
So when you look at, like, a team that's, you know, sitting there, you know, you tune whatever they're sitting there, it's all about you going down there, executing, do what you need to do, and don't get into a turnover where you're losing a turnover battle, where you're putting the ball on the ground, because that's something that can hurt you against a team like
this. I think Coach Belichick touched on this week in his press conference, and he talked about not coaching to a particular opponent. Mm-hmm. They're not going to talk about all the things that San Francisco does well, or that the Texans do well, or even that Jacksonville does well. They're going to talk about the ways they can hurt you. Now, their list of ways they can hurt you is much shorter than most people, but you're not going to coach to the record. And I think it's helpful for a player to kind of see it that way, because, you know, if I'm an outside linebacker, I got to go against Mercedes Lewis. He's a pretty good player. I mean, he's somebody I'm not going to overlook. I can't play against the sticker. I can't play against a record. I got Eugene Monroe, I believe, the big tackle, is a pretty solid former first-round guy. I got some challenges this week. You know, as a special teams player, guys are always going to be faster than me. So you got to work on the tendency. You got to play for what concerns you and get better at your job. You really can't play against 2-12, or you will fall into those traps.
Plus, Leslie's there, good middle linebacker, 6-year from Penn State. Guy's been around the league for a little bit. They paid him a lot of money to go there. I think $40 million or so. Justin Blackman's got 51 catches. Pretty good rookie year for him.
Yeah.
And you can't forget what Chad Henne did to this defense, you know, first game a year ago when he was playing for the Dolphins.
And I bet you Bill Belichick is probably telling his team right now, you know what, we know what they are, we know what their record is, but it's not what they do, it's what we do. If we go down there and we execute and we do and we play the type of football that we can play, we'll win this football game. And I think that's the way you have to approach a game like this when you're going against a team that is 2-12. It's what do we need to do to go down there and win this football game? And that's the biggest thing.
Well, we probably shouldn't even do the prediction segment, because I think we all know how this game's going to go. But we got to do it, guys, and that's coming up next. Stay tuned, because we got our predictions. That's coming up next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Time now for Week 16's Fantasy Lowdown. There is no margin for error this week, and Matt Schaub should be your QB of choice. He's fantastic at home, and his Texans host the Vikings, a subpar defense. Look for Schaub to be flying high on Sunday. Keep Cleveland rookie Trent Richardson away from your lineup. He's had a solid season with touchdowns in bunches, but I don't expect much from him at Denver. And a sleeper at running back, Indy's Vic Ballard, who will help the Colts pile it on the lowly Chiefs at Arrowhead. I'm Brian Lowe. Good luck in your title game. And that's the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
The Patriots have never lost to the Jaguars during the regular season. They're actually 5-0. Matt Chatham, will they make it 6-0 this week?
Yeah, it's going to be 6-0. Trying to find ways to rationalize that this wouldn't be, that it might be close. It's going to be 52-10 Patriots. Sort of a blowout, rectifying a lot of the issues of last week. Plenty to work on, lots of focus.
All right, let's kick it over to East Boston. Wiggy, represent? What are they going to do in this one?
Well, when you look at this game, my score is not as bad as Matt, but I'm going to say 42-7. I like the Patriots. You know, they're mad after playing San Fran last week, so I think they go down there and they lay the smack down.
All right, guys, I think I'm going to pick them 31-10 in this game. How about that? I have the most realistic prediction. They win by 21. It's going to be tough. It's Christmas week, but they eventually lay it to the Jaguars. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.